Okay, we're back on record at 11:04 a.m. Detective Fogg, you are still under oath?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you obtain a copy of an interview that had been conducted with Lieutenant Sean Hoover?
Yes, we did.
And when was that interview conducted?
That interview was conducted on March the 13th.
And who conducted that?
Officers with the Louisville Metro Police Department's Public Integrity Unit.
So, we'll go ahead and play that interview.
In our box, so then 3 years,
we just said 3 years.
Sorry.
How long have you been doing this?
17 and a half.
Are you under the influence of alcohol, drugs, or any other intoxicants?
No, at this time.
Are you taking any kind of medication that would affect your judgment or your ability to think clearly?
No.
Did you sustain any injuries during this situation?
No.
Did you receive any medical treatment?
No.
What type of uniform or clothing were you wearing at the time of this incident?
I was wearing plain clothes, but I had the black, I guess, the standard typical police vest, this, you know, black vest and white letters of police across the front with my plain clothes attire.
Okay. So, plain clothes, you've got on green pants,
yeah,
and like a camouflage under armor shirt.
Yes.
Like, I guess like a blue camouflage. Yeah. With orange stitching, I guess. And it's a black vest.
Yeah, just like your standard black tactical vest.
Okay. Alright. Do you have the same clothing on right now?
Yes, minus the vest, yes.
Minus the vest, right? Because of the statutory requirements of 15.520, I'm obligated to advise you that this is a criminal investigation, not an administrative investigation.
Okay.
However, you are not the target of this investigation. I tell you what, I think I'm going to switch to a different form, and I think I'm missing. Just because of the nature of the situation, I'm going to go ahead and just read you your rights, so that way it's all covered. And there are any problems. I'm not trying to.
Okay. Yeah, no. It, just with that, I would like to talk to Steve, I guess, because I was just understanding it was just a regular statement. So.
Yeah.
Nothing against you guys. It's just.
No, I apologize. I grabbed the wrong form.
No worries.
My name is offline.
No worries.
That's my.
We have to
do it.
Yeah, like
before
morning or something, like, you know.
I apologize. Before I even got any further, I was like, come on.
Movie's ready.
So, Steve?
Yeah. If he's something, I can just ask him outside. Just because if he don't have to be here, then I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
But I just.
No. I grabbed the wrong form, and I'm not completely sure that we have to actually do it.
Okay. Fair enough. But he didn't say nothing about plus or count.
Yeah.
So.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Sit tight.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
no, I don't have an issue.
statement at all. It just seems different than what being in power.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's why I want to clarify with serving on that.
Okay.
I was like, I'm going to screw this up. So let me go ask him.
Okay.
So we'll go back to where we were, because the statutory requirements carry us 15.52, I'm obligated to advise you this is a criminal investigation, not an administrative investigation. However, you are not the subject of this investigation. Knowing this, you want to give me some of this.
Yes.
Okay. Again, I apologize.
That's what I mean. That's why it's a little clarification.
Yeah.
It sounds a little different.
But. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to, as I got into it, I was like, hold on a second. I don't want to make that mistake, right? Because I want to treat you the way that I want to treat you. I'll tell you, here's kind of how I like to do it. It's your story. I'll listen to it. Give me as much information as you can. Basically, from the very beginning, use as many names as you can, as much detail as you can. To cover your brief.
Yeah. You're saying this, the briefing and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, basically, it was the new place-based investigation. It was, they were doing 4 to 5 total. I guess I think they were doing 3 with contingency on the 4th downtown. They're wrong, but I just heard the contingency one was like 2605 mile alley, but they were waiting to see how the other ones went before they passed that. But the one we were at on Springdale, that is an associated address with this gentleman. I said, this is not our investigation, but we were assisting them on that. So, but he had been using that address and apparently getting mail and stuff shipped there, sent there, and recently found a friend sent. This is his new permanent address. So their assumption that he's going to have dough or money or something he's storing there. So the brief, Wes Barton went over the brief. He briefed all of them at the same time. And I guess Josh Jane was a SWAT, going into more detail, I guess, with the other ones. We didn't do a whole lot of briefing on the other warrants and SWAT was executing those, but it was still had the list of people we were going where and doing what. So the plan was they were, when one SWAT was going to unload, we were trying to do it somewhat close to simultaneous. So they were, once they were unloading to go up to do their approach, we were going to drive over. We met at, I can't even remember the church, it's right there, I guess half a block south of St. Anthony's, right by the liquor store. We parked and met up, and EMS estate is there. So we met up there. Once time got close, we were just waiting until they started processing. We all got together and drove over there. I think we had 5 vehicles, if I remember correctly. John was leading, he was driving, I believe it was a Chrysler and a pull car, I'm not really for sure what it was. Brett Hankison, he has his green Suburban, or Tahoe, I think Suburban, not one of those two. Tony James had his Explorer. Mike Campbell was driving a Fusion, I don't know if it, I think it's a pull car. And I rode in Miles Cosgrove's Nissan Altima, so it seemed like I'm listening to her. Or 7 of what? Okay. Well, there were 7 of us total.
Certainly.
Yeah.
7. So, John, you, right?
Yes.
So me too. Hankinson, 3. James, 4. Campbell, 5.
Oh, no, those had this. Toyota was under. There's the other. So we followed John Lynn. I think we were towards the back. We were second last, I believe. But we went up. We had to go up because of that gate you all saw. So we went up to the next entrance, come around, parked out at the end of this, towards, I guess it's more towards the front of that building. We all exited our vehicles, got lined up, our stick, and we went right up to the door. Once we got to the door, I can't remember where everybody was. I think Tommy James was on the other side of the door. He had the bunker. And John was over there.
So Tommy James had
the shield, yeah.
So did you guys approach? Did you guys make a command stack?
Yeah, we were getting together right as we were getting to the front of the apartment. It was just a terrible layout for us to make an approach, to make the best we could.
Now, I haven't been there. Is it an apartment building?
It's an apartment, yeah. There's, yes, there's, I don't know, there's eight total. There's four on the bottom, four on the top. I guess there's two on the side and two in the back, same with the above. I'm kind of the best way to explain it to you. I don't have a picture of it.
Okay, four
apartments. Four, I believe. I can look. I'm almost positive it's four. So the 3003 number four.
Okay.
I'm almost positive it's the address. But once you go in, they said it's an open, this common area, outdoors, and there's steps on the right hand side to go up, but we were on the first floor. I say John and Tony were on the other side of the door. Mike Nobles was on, saying everybody else was on my side.
Okay.
And Mike Nobles was the ranger. He was on his side. And I think, if I remember right, I think Brett was covering. There's patio doors on the outside, on very front of one side of the building, or with the.
So did you guys have to breach the main door?
Yes, the regular entry door, not the glass door.
So is that what you're describing to me now?
Yes, when you go in, there was the main door to enter, and out front they had like glass sliding doors. If I remember, Brett was covering those while we were at the door doing our knocking. So we were set up ready. It was actually a knock more. We didn't execute it that way. We knocked on the door, said police, waited, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds.
Okay.
Knocked again, said police, waited even longer. So it was the third time that we were approaching at a minimum 45 seconds, if not a minute. And then I said, let's go, let's breach it. So knocked again, yelled police, search warrant, and almost hit the door two or three times. And once the door went open, and how, if you all weren't there, kind of the best way to describe it, how, I mean, basically there on the other, I think we'll take it so you can have an idea of what I'm explaining. Well, basically, they were on the left side of the door, everybody else on the right hand side. I think the way to explain it to you. And Mike ran from the right side of the door. Since it went out, yeah, I guess that's probably easier. I'm just trying to look on visual. I'm trying to think of the best way to. So this is Springfield. So parking spaces, and then there's like a sidewalk. And then this common area is just like a square, and this is like the bigger, I think the apartments basically split like that. So there's one apartment here, two, and three, and four. Well, the numbers aren't right, but that's kind of central layout. And the door to this one was right here. So we had, there was Tony and John were on this side. And I know Mike was there. I was here, I believe Brett was up here. There's glass sliding doors at the front, and Brett was covering that. And everybody else, I guess, Campbell and Thompson, they were on that side as well. So
it's an inward opening.
Yes, I believe it swung that way. I believe that's the other end swung in left.
Yes, the inward swing.
Do you think it opened inward to the...
I believe so, yeah. So Mike was at the third end, and second third end, it opens up and John steps over and into the doorway. I mean, he's still quite 5 foot away, but stepped into it to try to get to see what you can see. I mean, it was dark in there. As soon as he leaned over, your gunshots coming out of that apartment. I don't know how many, because during that time, I heard the shots, John goes down, and he said something like, fuck, I've been hit, or something like that. I couldn't tell him. I could see he'd been hit in the leg. So, at that time, Tony, I think it's how it happened, because I don't know how I got into that doorway and got him out without getting shot. I believe Tony stepped in with the bunker to shield. Well, when John went down, I saw that he did return some rounds. I don't know how many. John had anything. When he went down, he was going down, he was returning fire while he was laying on the ground. And at that time, Miles come in front of me, and that's the last one I grabbed. John, and he's stumbling, trying to get, I'm dragging, but he's, so as used his legs kind of, so we're getting out of there. And basically getting out to the parking lot and getting behind the first car we can get to. I don't remember what it was. So we were just basically in parking space and by I don't even know if I can tell you anything about it. But we got him there trying to assess his injuries. And I knew I had a tourniquet and I guess I was in somewhat pain. I just took my belt off and did that and held that until somebody got over there and Tony James had a tourniquet put on his leg. Because all he tells, he had one bullet wound in the upper thigh. And he was bleeding, I thought, a substantial amount, but I mean, of course, I had all the wound, but he was also in puddle water slimy. It couldn't make it look even worse. But I mean, he was definitely significantly bloody the way. So we tried to figure out the best way to try to stop the bleeding. So after that, we were able to move him again to the back side of another vehicle, which I believe was a civilian vehicle. I think it was a white Toyota big SUV, I believe is what it was. But also, I wanted to go back to something I forgot. When we were knocking the first two times, neighbor from above has come out and was like, what are y'all doing? Like looking down at us. So he heard us upstairs either knocking. And told him to go back in the apartment. He kind of wanted to argue. He's like, get back in the apartment. So the guy finally went back in the apartment. That was his white SUV is out front. He was dropping something off and he's trying to leave when all that happened. So, trying to think anything in between there is just such a blur. Got him out. I said to the behind one of these vehicles that was part, I believe, of the other private citizen vehicle. I believe that may actually be where we got the tourniquet on. Was after I think I had the belt at first just to get away from everything. Sure. We got him back there. That time, patrol officers were showing up. Whichever one got to be first, I don't know. It may be the other kid that's here, or anything, I'm not for sure. But they gave me a knife, so started cutting John's pants to try to see if he had any more injuries or if he had a pass through. Because kept saying, turn up here. I think it's good to turn it. After that, seemed like forever, I don't know. EMS, they come by. It seems like they left, because I don't know if they were blocked by that gate to go around and come in the other way, and I think we got a hold of them to come back. Miles Cosgrove, his Nissan Altima was right. It was right there, or somebody got him pulled up. I don't know who was driving it. Me and another officer, it was I'm not sure right there, I can't think of his name. We ran the gate. We got John up onto the back of the Altima, and
time, Tony James was down there. I don't know how he got down there in truck. I don't know. Either way, he was in there. So I just grabbed John off the trunk and just got through the gate and put him in the ambulance, and Tony helped me get him in the just up in the bed. I don't know where he's going. I can't think right now. Then after that, I believe Mike and Tony, don't know if they both of them, I got off to go back to the scene while they were trying to take care of John and get him to the hospital. When I get back there, at that time there's a lot of other officers that were showing up. People were covering the doors with rifles and whatever. And I would say, I guess, probably 10 minutes later, roughly, something like that, the guys, there's a male gentleman there who decides to come out. So they talk him out, Brett Anderson talked him out, got him all the way back up to the cars, and canine also assisted as well, because the guy was really slow walking, didn't want to come out. So canine assisted with that. And he makes some statements. I can't remember much of them. I'm sure with all the body cameras that the officers there, they should be able to pull them up. But he said something about there's a woman down inside. He said she was the one shooting. He said she had a 9mm. He believed a 9mm. And he was taken into custody and put in a patrol car. I don't know where he was transported or whatever. They were just getting him out of there. And then during while this is going on, we were also calling for SWAT to come back because we knew that there was an armed suspect in there. This is before the guy gave himself up. I'm sorry, I'm back a little bit. So we started calling for them to leave the warrants they were doing down in the magazine to come back and help us, because with, you know, given the situation, we weren't going to walk back in there, so we were waiting for SWAT to come back and check the apartment clear. And they found, so there was a female down inside, but that was it. I didn't ask or anything like that. Just asked them, you know, what casings are there, because we were, I was assuming it was a rifle, like somebody was shooting. I mean, I know we're in close quarters, but it was so loud, and I don't know who said it. Somebody got a rifle, so I think he's got a rifle. So I don't know if it was AR-15 or what, but somebody said rifle. It may have been John, I'm not for sure. But as far as none of us stepped foot in that apartment with the incident. SWAT was the only one to go in there.
So you guys never actually managed?
We never made it in. We were, in my opinion, we were ambushed. They knew we were there. I mean, all the neighbors knew we were there upstairs. You know, they were coming out to see what was going on, and they were waiting.
So, I'm not just kind of running back there, so bad.
Yeah, and I got down for a little bit.
You're fine. You're doing a great job. You really are. So, I'll just run you back through it. And then we'll kind of, you know, anything I miss or whatever, feel free to jump in at any point in time that you want to or whatever. I just want to make sure I fully understand this. So I guess this whole thing is you guys were doing a place-based, it sounds like a bunch of search warrants at the time. As a result of some investigation.
It was all one investigation, yeah, multiple search warrants.
So you're not the lieutenant in charge of that.
No. We were assisting, they needed bodies because they had so much going on.
And you, because you're in narcotics, you guys serve warrants all the time, right? This team that you work with today, do they work for you?
Some do, some used to. Well, let me think. I think every one of them, other than and Mike Nolan was either worked for me or worked for me before we did the reorganization.
So it's just kind of a hodgepodge? team, I guess.
Yes, it was, you know, laying the body, we showed up and kind of just.
Was that a volunteer?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So you guys volunteered to show up. Where did you guys do the brief at?
In CID 701 West North, in our office.
Okay, the narcotics office?
Yes.
So you guys do the brief at the narcotics office. Were these supposed to be simultaneous?
Trying to keep it reasonably close. Not necessarily. We were one and we're waiting on SWAT to make their approach. So we knew by the time we drove from there, parked, and they approached it, they were already in there. They weren't reasonably close, but not, you know,
no,
super simultaneous.
Okay. Not like some big super.
Right. And being the other end of town.
So what did you guys know about that target that you guys were going to?
All that we knew is it was a female department, I believe, as an ex-girlfriend. I guess you gotta assume anything when you're, you know, a search warrant, but it was for a search warrant, it was considered a law discipline. I mean, as far as,
okay,
it was mainly looking for, you know, any kind of documentation within that address and also on the narcotics. So cash. I mean, he was connected to that address, but he wasn't there.
Who's he?
I cannot remember his name right now.
No, it's fine. Was he the main target?
There was five associated with that case. And I believe it was the main one, the associate with the main guy.
Okay.
So like I said, there were five, not the whole network type.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, so. I'm assuming there was an actress there?
I believe. I say that, but I did not see one. So, I mean, I guess that could be an error on me for not asking that question.
Okay.
I guess under an assumption that it was low risk, they knew the history. I assume they did.
But based on what you were briefed on, you felt like it was low risk. Is this something?
Yes, I felt like I was easily capable. Yeah, okay. Nothing outside our capability.
How long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been in narcotics, I guess, about, I guess, 3 years, right, 3 years, and then I also did 6 years, 5 years of the flex unit, and then also sergeant of the 1st Division Halo for a year. So
you've served 18 warrants.
Yeah, quite a few.
So you probably have a pretty good idea of what's high risk and what's low risk.
Correct.
When to make the appropriate call to who.
Correct.
And given your position, you're probably very, I would assume, and that's just purely an assumption on my important part, that that's something that you do quite often, and you know, even the fact that it goes on a matrix with considered telling someone who to call appropriate. So you guys get briefed up at the CID office, you guys roll out and you meet basically like a staging area.
Yeah, sure. I can't think of the name of the church. It's just south of that liquor store. Same thing. I can't think of what the name of the church is.
Gotcha. But in close proximity?
Yes.
Okay, is St. Anthony's and what's the closest?
It runs off of St. Andrews. You know where St. Andrews and Blanton is? You know where YMCA is off of? That's almost. Okay, say Dixie and Greenwood.
Okay.
Well, I guess it would be St. Andrews there. Just, if you know, you drive right past the first is there, I'd say it's probably a mile and a half tops up there. St. Anthony's would be on your right if you're coming from Dixie.
So you got stage, say, okay, these are the people we're going to take. Before you got stage, have positions already been assigned as far as?
There's a list on the board, yeah, we haven't went with.
Is that all still on the floor?
I would assume.
Okay.
I would assume that hasn't been touched since we left.
Okay. All right. So everybody kind of gets us basically in the assigned position.
Yeah.
To breach your.
Yeah, and for that, the first three were the main ones, and after that, it's kind of fluid. You just kind of, you know, we're getting up there together, but if the back view were out of work, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the main three were the first three. So.
Okay. So, was John's position, was he to provide security for Tony, or what was kind of his role?
I guess once, I mean, we were, I guess, essentially probably, well, I wasn't where Tony had the bunker when he saw it, just reasonably, we're going to follow Tony in.
Sure.
I didn't know he had it with him. So, essentially, John, I think, was just stepping over and trying to clear, and it was, I believe he was actually shouting search warrant, if I remember correctly, and immediately, you know, was getting fired. So he was trying, I believe, just to clear what he could, and then Tony would have come in, and they would just, we would just all got in behind and just followed him over through.
So you guys get into the apartment building itself, and then you're outside on a door.
Yeah, the common, well, I say the common area, that it's still outside. We never made it to, and it wasn't, it's not an interior.
Okay. Like I said,
once you see it, you'll understand.
Okay, sure. So you guys stand up on the door, and you said you guys knocked in and out. How many times?
Three times.
Three times you knocked in and out. And then were you, so as you did that, how long ago would you say you waited in between knocking and announcing?
I mean, it was probably 10 to 15 seconds at least.
Okay.
Like I said, for the three, it was at least 45 seconds, if not a minute. I mean, it was, we were there for a little bit, and, you know, hindsight, but, you know, because it wasn't no knock warrant, but because with it, we considered it going to be more of a low risk, we're like, we'll just give them a chance to open the door.
Okay.
So that was kind of our thought process, but it was, we were going to give them a chance to open the door, and...
And why?
Because, like I said, it was low risk, and with that, we didn't, you know, obviously there's the concern of destruction of evidence, but we felt with her, she may be like, you know, what's this? You know, if he was there, it'd be a different story, but with her, that's why we knocked the first two times. We just said, police. We didn't, you know, police search warrant. We just said, police.
Okay.
You know, and waited, you know, delay, whatever 10, 15 seconds was, repeated the same thing. Okay. Then the last time, I just said, let's just hit it. They're not going to answer.
Okay.
So then that's when we did the search warrant, you know, police search warrant announcement.
Okay. So the first three times that you knocked, or the first two times that you knocked, you just said police.
Yes.
Hoping to draw her to the
police. Yes. And it was, like I said, it was loud enough that the neighbor above them come out, but she was no problem.
So the third time that you knocked, that's when you guys say search warrant?
You said bang, and said police search warrant, and then Mike rang it.
Okay. And then Mike rang it.
Yeah.
And then, for whatever reason, John steps out. And I guess is his gun up at this point?
Yes, I mean, I can't go from memory and remember him actually stepping out, but I know he did that because where he got shot,
okay,
he had to step right into that front of that door, trying to, you know, just looking in to clear, I guess, to see if there's any threats, immediate threats there.
Okay, and you felt like, and then he gets shot.
Immediately. As soon as that door flew open on that last hit, I simply, everybody's probably yelling, but I remember somebody yelling search warrant. I'm sorry, I can't say specifically who it was, but, and immediately, you know, there was, you know, gunfire coming at us.
Okay. So, you feel like at some point, then possibly Tony James steps in front of the door with the shield?
I'm assuming that to get John out of there and he not get shot, that probably had to happen because John was kind of in the open, the Miles in the open.
Okay.
And like I said, Miles stepped in front of me trying to address the target, and I grabbed John. And I mean, and after that, I was just dragging him, getting him out of there. I heard a bunch of gunshots. I couldn't tell you, you know, where they come from, but they were pretty loud, so.
Do you see anybody else shoot?
Cause I did not see anybody else shoot,
right?
Yeah, John. I'm sorry. John was the only person I saw shoot.
He's the only person that you saw shoot. Okay. Anybody else say tell you that they shot?
Roy and Miles did, but okay. Like I said, that's
Brett Hankinson?
Yes.
Miles Cosgrove.
Yeah. Okay. But I didn't see anyone shoot. Because at that point, I'm dealing with John and Brian, so.
But as a lieutenant, at some point in time, you asked that, I'm guessing that would be a guess.
Yes, I was checking to make sure they were okay, you know, and make sure they're fine. And you can tell they were a little more shook up, and that's why, you know, I.
It's completely understandable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, completely understandable. So you guys, after that happens, it sounds like it kind of settles down a little bit, maybe. As far as like that initial burst of.
Yes, once we got out into cover, it was quiet.
And then, so you immediately start trying to render aid. You do all that. Once John gets down to EMS, you then turn your attention back towards
the scene. Yeah.
When you get back to the scene, I believe you said that you saw people have rifles on windows and the doors.
Yeah, those were, the patrol officers that showed up. Sometimes in that span, there were quite a few, obviously, in that situation. Okay.
So, obviously, it sounds like they're trying to contain it.
Yes.
So, as that is happening, a male comes out from the inside?
Yeah, it was, in that situation, it's so hard to determine time with what they're going along, but I would say it was a minimum 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
A guy decided to come out. I was down the way and I heard him, I believe it was Brent Hankinson, that was addressing him.
Okay.
And he was like, something effective, there's a male coming out, and then basically talking about him. And the guy walked extremely slow, just small. So it took forever for the guy to get back there.
Okay.
And I said, canine said, and I can't remember that officer's name for nothing, but
okay.
He had his dog there and was like, come back, to me, or I'll release the dog. And he picked up the pace after that. He got back a little quicker, but
okay.
But he was being covered by multiple, firearms at that point.
Do you remember any of the faces or names of anybody else that you saw out there?
The bad thing is, they're also new. Like, I don't, never had incidents. No, I mean, I talked to Major Shy and Lieutenant Manuel afterwards, but I don't know if they were there when they got to come out. I mean, other than, the group of guys out there.
Okay. But you remember the canine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember his name for nothing.
Okay.
He may come back to me in a second.
Can you describe it for me?
He's white male. I want to say his hair is kind of spiky. I know who the guy is. I recognize him. It's not somebody I've ever talked to, but I recognize who he is.
Kirk?
It wasn't Kirk.
Emo? Jeremiah Emo?
It may have been Emo. Is he kind of taller? I mean, like 6'1", 2-ish, something like that, maybe? That's him.
Possibly.
I believe that's who he was.
He was out there when I went to the scene.
If he was the ones out there, that's more than likely.
Or something to Jeremiah.
So you turn your attention back towards the apartment. You see it's now covered down. This guy ends up getting talked out by Brett Hankinson, who was with you guys, and then with the assistance of a canine officer. Do you remember who all went into the apartment?
I don't know if anybody went into it. I SWAT in. I don't think that I saw, I'm 100% positive. None of the narcotics people or CID people went in there. I think somebody may have done a walkthrough or something. I don't even know if they went in. I know they were up there by the door. SWAT, I think, were the only ones that went in. I don't think any other officers went in. Not that I'm aware of. Because with that, potential armed suspect, we were just holding the perimeter and letting SWAT come.
Okay. So, after, I guess, Dave SWAT ends up getting cleared.
Yes.
You were there for that?
I was there, yes.
Okay. So SWAT gets cleared. And then kind of run me through what happens when the chain of command starts showing up?
Yes. I mean, during that time, I contacted Major Barbarin to let her know that she already knew at that point. She was like, I'm on my way to the hospital now.
Okay.
I guess she probably got the command page, I guess. But I tried to call her whenever. As soon as we got John in the ambulance and gone, I immediately called her. As far as Commander showed up, I said it was Lieutenant Isaac Mann on the 3rd and Major Shaw. They were out with a barricade subject in Paragon, so they went from that to that. Colonel Judas showed up. I'm trying to remember who else.
Did you tell anybody about what happened?
What do you mean?
Did you talk to anybody else about what happened? As far as like, did you, share the whole incident? What, did you share?
Well, I talked to Major Burberry and let her know what was going on. Okay. And that was basically up to the point of where I think got John on the ambulance. I don't think the guy had come out yet. He was still in there at that point, I'm pretty sure.
I guess, let me say it like this. Other than informing command of what happened, did you talk to anybody else about it? Anybody else, like another Peter or something like that. You know, so like me and him or Peter,
yeah.
So I would say, you come up and you're like, man, this is what happened.
Well, I mean, we had other guys from CID showing up that were currently in my, and good friends of John.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the main thing is, just kind of explain to people, like, man, I think he's all right. This was kind of what happened. Just getting the gist. I didn't go through, like, a detailed, anything like that. But I felt that was something I should inform them. I couldn't, like, start to pull up later. I mean, that's a good friend of theirs that they've worked with for years and are tight. So, I felt somewhat, I was obligated, but in order to comfort them a little bit, so they knew what was going on with their friends.
Okay. Right. So you didn't cover it with in depth detail or anything like
No. I was just saying, we were making entry and man, we were immediately getting fired on and we drove John out of there. And that was kind of it wasn't obviously nothing detailed like this. It was, of course, I'm running around, having calls management or stuff like that. I didn't know we had time to sit around and conversate the whole lot.
Right. Do basically what you think, right? At that point,
Some kind of guess.
I mean, it sounds kind of.
Yeah.
You're a doctor. To put it that way, but I mean, that's right.
Yes.
When we got to start this manning officer,
that's
true.
You mentioned SWAT guys with impact.
I don't know. Well, when I was asking, I was like, are you on clear? They're like, oh, we've already cleared it. I think I talked to Sergeant Brandon Owens, and I think at that point, they had already, because they were there, and I know I told Brandon, I told him, what the situation was, either Major Burger called me or I had to call her. I think something along those lines, then I believe Miles talked to him to kind of fill them out. So that way they were made aware of what the situation was. But they went in, they were able to clear it because I believe they were able, at the doorway, they were able to see the suspect, subject was down. So
there's four apartments in this little alcove?
Yeah, I would assume this one probably goes like that. I'm assuming, I didn't go in, so I have no clue what was inside.
Plus, you remember the four doors in your life?
Yeah.
So the guy that was upstairs,
was above one.
Okay, so
So, I mean, he was above, this is actually number four. I did a terrible job of that. I was just listing four parts.
So he was above the money on the second line?
Yes.
Okay. What did he look like?
You know, it was one of those things I wish, you know, at the time, I was just more trying to get in the door, you know, the guy coming out. I know he was a taller gentleman. It seems like. And I don't know, yes, at all. He seemed like he had darker skin tone. Like, he could have been possibly Hispanic or maybe less than black. I'm not positive. It almost seemed like he had a, an accent of some sort, just of what I can remember, because I'm trying to watch that and watch this door at the same time, so it was, but as he was going by, he was talking to somebody in the apartment, and it just, I don't know why I remember that, but it seemed like it was, he had an accent.
I
kind of
want to
circle
back to something. So, when you guys decided to knock on the door and use that instead of the no knock.
Yes.
Would it be fair, because I don't want to make assumptions if it worked for me. Would it be fair though, I guess this is, I know from my experience in training, that sometimes we do things like try to get somebody to come to the door. It sounded like you guys were using more of an approach of trying to be more cautious and also trying to mitigate, you know, the higher risk of the no-knock.
Correct. And I believe that they were all signed as no-knocks due to that whole group with their, you know, with the narcotics trafficking and the guns. I believe First Vision was done in one very basic fashion, you know, making properties and houses down there. I think First Vision got like seven guns out of one of those properties a while back. So I think they were all signed as that. And we were just of the mind that, like, let's just try to do this as normal, because I don't, I mean, granted, the judge signed it, we could have done it, but sure. We thought this was the better alternative.
Would you say that you felt like it was safer for everybody to do it that way?
Yes, I mean, we assumed, never assumed, but I assumed somebody would come and answer the door. That was our intention, to give that opportunity to, you know, one, you know, it's after midnight, you're breaking down somebody's door and it's dark and they're in bed, startled. So we're trying to give them a chance to answer the door, you know, and on top of that, it keeps us from having to tear up their property, right. You know, and not that we're going to try to do that to avoid the blue team, but, you know, there was a lot of things that pointed us in the direction of, like, let's just not go on this door. You know, we just,
You had how many members of your unit with you who have the umpteen warrants and umpteen and numerous years of narcotics experience?
Between Tommy James and John Madden alone, I mean, right. Just those two. And then you had Brett and Campus. I'm just, yeah, I mean, nobody, there was nobody that said, no, let's do the number. I mean, everybody was an agreement. We've done a lot of ours, you know, they probably done plenty more than I have, but, you know, everybody,
sure.
That seemed to be, to us, the best option. Right. That seemed to be the right thing for us to do on that.
Sure. I'll tell you what we'll do is, do you have any objections if we have any further questions tomorrow or day after if we, you know, contact you, reach out to you, and, you know, follow up with you, do you have any objections?
No, I don't have any questions with that.
What's your number for you?
502-744-4253. That's my first one. 744-4253, yeah.
Are there any questions we have not asked you or any other information you have that may be beneficial to this case?
No.
Okay. Is there anything you want to state for the record before we leave?
No.
Is everything you've told me the truth to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Well, and with the statement, current time is going to be 0:15.
Any questions for Detective Fogg about Lieutenant Hoover's interview? The process of your investigation.
Yes, ma'am.
One question. Was he asked specifically based on his position, or was he asked specifically about his position in the stack, and then based on that position, whether he could see the man upstairs?
I think he said at the beginning of the interview, he talks about he's at the rear of the stack, or toward, not complete rear, but he was behind Madden Lee, James, and Cosgrove. He mentions hearing him, and he mentions he couldn't really tell exactly what he looked like. He said he was light skinned.
Anything else? Did you obtain a copy of recorded interviews that had been conducted with Kenneth Walker?
Yes, ma'am.
And when were those interviews conducted?
Those interviews were conducted. Those interviews were conducted on March the 13th.
And where were they conducted and by whom?
They were conducted by Louisville Metro Police Department Public Integrity Unit. They were conducted by Sergeant Amanda Seeley and Sergeant Chad Tennell.
We'll start with the first interview. Do you have, well, we'll learn what the time is.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and play the first interview.
Before we get started, I just need to go over, we are to you and the summer. Just read over it now. Just check and tell you what's going on. This is the main assembly, Metro Police Department Public Integrity Unit. Also with me is Sergeant Chad Tannell, BAU Office 3672 Boulevard. Today's date is March 13th, 2020. Thursday, current time is 03:53. I am here with
I need to finish with this paper. I'm so sorry. I
Yeah, I've been listening to you. So let me read this real quick and then just go back to where you are. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you can say, anything you say can and will be used to you against you in the court of law. You have the right to talk to the lawyer prior to any questioning or making intervening statements and have him present with you while you're ruling the motion. If you can't afford to hire a lawyer, one will be appointed by the court to represent you before questioning if you desire. You may stop questioning or making statements any time or refusing to answer further or by requesting to consult with an attorney prior to continuing with questioning or making intervening statements. I need you to sign this. This is, I have read the statement of my rights. I understand what my rights are. I'm willing to make a statement and answer questions. I do not want a lawyer at this time. I understand and know what I'm doing. No promises or threats have been made to me, and no pressure or coercion of any kind have been used against me. I'm sorry.
Your office has told me I was going to jail for the rest of my life. Said he was gonna let the dog on me and all types of stuff just happened. I'm just in the bed, I'm just...
Who was that? Do you know? Can you describe him to me?
I'm sorry.
I just don't like when people do that. So he's like, what the heck?
We both get up, start picking clothes, another knock at the door. She's like, who is it? Loud at the top of her lungs. No response. So I'm like, what the heck? So then I grab my gun, which is legal, like I'm licensed to carry everything. I've never even fired my gun outside of the range. I'm scared to death. So she says that there's another knock at the door. She's yelling at the top of her lungs, and I am too at this point, who is it? No answer, no response, no anything. So we like, what the heck? We both just see what happened. Grab the nurse, say he's on either mind, it's hers. So we both were just putting on something to go answer the door and see who's knocking at the door. It's late at night. So when we come out, when we get out of the bed, whatever, like walking towards the door, the door like comes like off the hinges. So I just let off one shot, like still can't see who it is or anything. So now the door is like flying open like one shot, and then all of a sudden there's a whole lot of shots. And we both just dropped to the ground, and the gun like fell like right over there. And I like, because I'm like scared to death, like now we're seeing lights and stuff. So I'm like, okay, it's the police, and there's a lot of yelling and stuff. So they're just shooting, like we're both on the ground, and when all the shots stop, I'm like panicking. She's right there on the ground, like bleeding, and
so was there any lights on in the living room or the hallway? Was everything off because you guys had gone to bed? So did both of y'all step out of the bedroom? Were you in the hallway?
Yes. I didn't even get all the way down the hallway to the door before I got kicked. She literally got shot right at her doorway in the house. Like, we both literally stepped out of her doorway and then they came down the door and out of the shop in the hallway next to each other. So then they just start shooting like 10 shots.
Where did you go then?
I just dropped on the ground, like right next to her, but where I dropped on the ground, like there's a room to the left when you come out of her room. So there's a wall, like right here. So when I just dropped on the ground, I like scooting over, but I'm trying to like, I didn't know if these shots, where they're going or stuff, you know, I'm scared. I've never been that close to somebody shooting a gun. unless it's in a controlled environment, such as at the range or something. So I'm like freaking it out. I can't register anything that's going on. So.
She's a star at one?
Yeah, just one. That was just the one. I don't know who's coming to this door. The door just got kicked out the hinges, so I'm scared. One shot, boom, and then there was a lot of shots, so I just dropped right now.
What did you do with your gun when you dropped?
I kicked it up under the bed. I told the other officers, because I didn't know what's going on at this point. I'm just scared, and if they did, I'm thinking, like, somebody's gonna, like, come in, because I'm noticing it's the police now, because I hear them yelling and stuff after the door's already been kicked down, after I'm yelling for help. And she's right here on the ground. So I didn't want to be like thinking I'm trying to be, you know, do something. If they come here, I just want her to get help at this point. Like, I don't even care what happened to me at that point. Like, she needed help. And all of that was for no reason. And nobody still said anything about what they were even doing at the door, because I know for a fact that couldn't have been coming for either one of us. Like, there would be no reason for that at all. And that other, I don't know who he was, but he came and told me there was some type of misunderstanding or something like that already.
An officer come to you?
Yeah. And the police car on the ride over here, we pulled over in the parking lot somewhere, and a guy came to my window and he was asking my name, and he was like, the first thing I said to him was, "Was she lying?" He was like, "Well, we'll talk about that when you get to where you're going." Lost it. And he was like, "I just want to let you know right now that all of this was, they had a misunderstanding or something like that." To me, it seemed like they realized that they were at the wrong place.
So this person was you?
No, he wasn't. He was driving like a silver SUV.
So you and Brianna had any kind of interactions with police or anything lately?
No.
Does Brianna work?
Yeah.
Where does she work?
She works at the hospital at right off the highway on the regular Ranch Lane. And the health was U of L, and she also works at Jewish as a part-time job.
Okay. Where do you work?
Well, I'm employed right now. I just lost my job January 21st from Coca-Cola. I've been there for 2.5 years. I actually just got hired on at the post office in a place called Manly. It can be seats for four.
You just got hired?
Yeah, post office. Is that what I'm talking about? I think it's those. This is crazy.
Kenny Kenneth, what are you going to be called?
Kenneth is my name.
I never had the luxury of like a short name. My name always thought it was cool. It's Chad. So, you know, what are you going to do with that, you know? Man, I just want to go back over it and kind of, fill in maybe some confusion that I had. So these like loud bangs in the door, and you are yelling, "Who is it? Who is it?" You know, that kind of thing. How many loud bangs there was?
So first it was dum 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 dum.
Okay.
Like, what's that? So now we cannot put no clothes.
Yeah, we all are in bed.
Yeah. We cannot put no clothes.
Naked, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. So we get up. All right, I probably get my pants on. Mm-hmm. She probably gets some pants on. And it's another guy. Like, dum 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 dum. She's like, "Who is it?"
Right.
Like, loud. It's
still
in the bedroom. Because we're trying to get decent to go answer the door,
right,
whatever it may be.
Is the bedroom the first bedroom on the left down the hallway, or is it on the right? I didn't make it all the way down there.
It's all straight back.
Straight back?
You come in the door.
Right.
You just keep on walking straight, and you're going to end
up. Okay.
It's all the way down the hallway.
Sorry to interrupt you a bit.
So after that second loud bang, where she's still yelling, "Who is it?" Like I said, I grabbed a gun.
Sure.
So now we got enough clothes on. I still didn't make it even put shoes on or anything. I don't have anything. So,
yeah, no, I said it, yeah.
So after I grabbed that, we start walking towards the door to go see who it is. Love Loud Band. Well, not really, I don't even know from Love Loud Band, but the door is coming in. When we got to the doorway to go see who it is, the door is coming in.
The doorway, like, in flight. Like,
yeah. The doorway, no. We never made it past the room.
The bedroom doorway?
We never made it past the second bedroom, the second bedroom in the home. That's on the left, there's a bathroom that's like right if you're coming from the room. We never even made it, like, mid-hallway.
Okay. If so you never made it past the bathroom?
No, if you saw where her body was at, and I saw the frog left, there was holes in the back wall, like, of the hallway. So you can see exactly where we were at. By coming to the door.
Right.
But as we come to the door light comes off the hinges.
Okay.
Like, but you can't see anybody though. Like, when the door comes off the hinges, it's happening fast. Like, it's like an explosion.
True.
You know, so boom, one shot. Then all of a sudden there's a whole lot of shots. We both drop to the ground. But I just hear her screaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
did you shoot towards the door, or just like up in the air, or like
towards the ground, really just right. Like one shot, so if it was somebody that run off or something, you know what I'm saying, just like somebody's breaking in the home, like we don't.
Did you see anything in the door come off the hinges, did you see anything at that
moment? No, I couldn't see anybody, it was dark, there was no lights out there. So I was hearing these loud booms, and seeing who was in, nobody seeing who it is, but then the door gets kicked in.
Where were you at? Where was she at? Where were you at when that shot was fired?
So say she was right here.
Right.
And I was right here.
Is this the other bedroom door?
This is the other bedroom door right here. So we in the back room and she's standing right here.
And you're all standing
right here. We just came out. She really came out first. But she was kind of like next to me, so I come out.
Sure.
And then the door gets kicked in. So I'm right here, the other room. She's right here. So it was one shot, boom. Damn, the door's flying open. There was a whole lot of shots. So we both drop.
Right.
But when I drop, I'm right here closer to this room. Yes. She's dead in the middle of the hallway. So any shots coming in don't have any choice but to go right there.
So are you right handed?
Yes.
You shot with your right hand?
Yeah.
So did you shoot before the door flew open?
Yeah. Well, it was all in like one motion.
Mm-hmm.
As it flew open, like boom, boom. Like it was like simultaneous.
It kind of like that, like I like a boom.
Yeah, not really. I feel like I aimed down.
Aimed down a little bit?
Yeah, like, because I wouldn't, of course, I don't need to kill anybody if,
sure.
You know, if I can just get you out of here just by you hearing me. So,
did you hear anything, any other words? I mean, was anything being said at all when the doors were open? Or
no.
Did you hear anything?
No. No, just the door coming open, and at that point, they're shooting and she's screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the ground, my feet are kind of into the other room at this point. So when the shots are going off, I'm scooting. Like, you know, and like I said, so when I let off the shot, and I dropped to the ground, the gun dropped like right here, and that's my home ground, I kicked it. Like that with my foot.
Into that other bedroom?
Yes.
Underneath that bed?
Yes.
There?
Okay. Yes.
Is that her sister's room?
That's her sister's room.
Okay.
She's not here right now. She's in California, so thank God she wasn't here right
now. At what point did you call her in the police?
When the door was open and she was on the ground, like leaning, so now I'm right there with her, and like I can hear like a whole lot of chatter and stuff outside, but I'm hysterical, like at this point, like I'm yelling at somebody to come help her or whatever, and then after it's been like 5 minutes, like I called my mom and I told her that somebody just kicked in the door and shot me. So at that point when I called my mom, still didn't know it was police. I told her on the phone, somebody kicked the door. So I hung up, my mom's like, call 911 right now, call 911 right now. So I called 911. Then I told them what happened. I'm still not knowing it's the police. Cause then I called Brianna's mom. I hung up on that one. And I told her my name. And I told her what happened. And I told her where I was at. Then I hung up. And I was like, I gotta go. So I called her mom. I called Brianna's mom. And then I told her what just happened. When I was on the phone with her,
when I kind of realized that it was the police, because now they're yelling like, come out, come out. And I'm on the phone with her, so while this is on, I'm still yelling help, because she's over here like coughing and like, I'm just freaking out. But I'm on the phone with her mom now at this point. So they keep yelling, come out, so I'm like, okay, it's the police. So now I'm like, okay, so I'm coming out, whatever. I'm still on the phone with her mom. Before I step out, I yell to them. I'm like, hey, I got my phone in my hand. Like, I'm unarmed, like, you know, so I come out. And I like, you know, I'm like this, but like, put the phone down. So I put the phone on the ground. You know, just like this, and they're like, telling me to walk backwards to them or whatever. So I just start walking backwards, and I'm like, there's something that was blocking me or whatever, that was telling me to move out of the way, and like, the dog was barking, and that's when I got close to the edge, and the dude was like, are you hit with any, did you get hit by any bullets? And I'm like, no. He said, oh, that's unfortunate. And then that's when he had the dog right there. I don't have any shoes. I clearly have nothing in my hands, anything. I'm walking backwards, and he has this dog right here barking like 3 feet behind me, like the dog is going crazy. And he's like, if you don't, something, if you don't get down or something, you know, I'm doing everything they're asking me to, slowly and truly, like, I'm like scared to death, and I told him like I'm scared, like, and they was just like, if you don't get down on your knees, I'm gonna let the dog go, I'm gonna let the dog go. Just like, please don't let the dog go. Like, so now I finally get down, and then they come and they put the cuffs on me and stuff, and then they walk me away. And that was it. That was the end of everything.
What is it that you put your phone down at?
Right in front of the front door. Okay. And her mom was still on the phone while this was happening.
What's your phone look like?
It's got a red cell phone case on it. So, iPhone 11 Max Pro.
Does it have a passcode that blocks it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the passcode?
1017.
Does she have a phone?
Yeah.
But did she call anybody like you know her again?
No. I called people after everything had happened and nobody. What really made me not realize it was the police either, because nobody was like rushing in after all this happened. They all like stayed outside. So I'm like, what the heck was that? Mm-hmm. Like so now because she was shot, that's what made me call my mom and call her mom, you know, and let everybody know what just happened.
You called your mom, then 911,
yeah.
And then her mom.
Because my mom told me to call 911.
So do y'all have like patio doors in your apartment as well? Did you see anybody? Did you come out of the hallway before?
I never came out down the hallway until I walked all the way outside with my phone. I never came out. I didn't know what was going on. I was worried about her. She was on the ground.
So were you walking out of the apartment backwards, or did you walk forward?
I walked forward until I got to the door, and I yelled out the door, hey, I have my phone in my hand, and I'm coming out. And when I came out, they told me to put the phone down, and they told me to face towards the other door and walk backwards towards the end.
Did you see anybody or anything at the patio doors or anything?
No.
What were they yelling to you?
Just come out. They were just yelling, come out of the apartment.
So once the door flew open, you never saw anybody?
No.
Never heard anything?
No, after the door flew open, I guess they like dispersed or something, which makes sense because I was out a shot, so I guess they just moved from right there. But I still not knowing who it was or what just happened, like everything happened like in the blink of an eye. Like literally it was like 5 to 10 seconds or less, like all of that happened.
idea how many shots you heard after we fired your homes?
Like 10. It had to be at least like 10. Like, it was a lot of shots. I seen for sure on her, I was right there with her, like, I don't even know, like three holes on her leg, then on the wall, like right behind where she was, it was like four holes on the wall. You know, like, it was a lot of shots.
So, you said when you got to like your bed, you grabbed your gun, you keep your gun like next to your bed, or?
No, like it was just like on the floor, I think, like in the holster. Just there, because I usually I carry everything like in the holster, I'm supposed to be inside. Mm-hmm. I got my pants on me at the end of the day, whatever, whenever I come in the house, whatever, sorry, I was in my house, whatever, I'm just gonna set it something. Mm-hmm. I don't have any kids or anything, so she don't even start leaving them after I get put up or say anything. Mm-hmm. So.
Can the ladies that you fired one round, did she ever shoot at all?
No.
Did any more rounds ever get fired out of that gun?
No,
just one.
Just one.
Okay, not one here. Locked. Okay.
You keep a full mag?
Yeah, but. Sure, maybe 2 or 3. Because last time the terrain got used up all my bullets, so I only had a couple of bullets. I just had them in there for just in case.
How many did you think you had?
I can't really say. I mean, like I just check it all the time.
So right.
That's how I'm expecting to use it. So as long as I have more than 2 or 3, that was fine with me because it shouldn't.
Right. Do you always keep one in the chamber?
No. No, but I got up, I put one in there because nobody was seeing who was at the door. I never keep one in the chamber because once upon a time I got, well, not pulled up with the police kind of put up on it since when I had first, well, I didn't even have a gun license yet. And, I did get pulled over actually, and I had one. The chamber of police told me, he said, that for future rep, they took my gun or whatever, and they took out the clip and they ran my ID and stuff. And then they came back, and he was like, oh, I never hand anybody guns back. So they threw the clip in my front seat, and they put the gun in my trunk. And he was like, for future reference, never keep one in the head, because that's a charge or something. Something like that. So since then, I never even keep my in there. I don't know how true that was, but I mean, it made sense to me. So I'm like, I don't want any problems. So mm-hmm. I just don't keep my in
there. So you don't know how many you had your club?
I say maybe like 7 or 8. It only holds 10 plus 1, I think.
How long have you had the gun?
I think about a year and a half.
You go to the range a lot?
No, I've only been to the range like 2 or 3 times. I only shot that gun in the range once, actually.
Do you have other guns?
Well, I did, but I haven't. Well, I only had one other one, the AR-15. Pistol, but it's small on my back, so.
So you don't have that gun anymore? Mm-hmm. So is there any other guns in her apartment?
No.
The sister doesn't have one that we can't be aware of? Mm-hmm.
She's only 2 years old. Yes, definitely doesn't have any guns.
And then Brianna's never had a gun before?
No.
I actually talk to a dispatcher when you call 911? Someone answered. And what did you say to them?
I told them someone just kicked in the door and shot my girl.
Did you give them the address?
Yeah. Yeah. I told them my name, and I gave them the address, and I think that was it. I was heading to it, so I started crying on the phone, noticing what was going on with her, and I just told them I gotta go.
So was there any sounds in the apartment that we picked up, you think, that was going on at that point while he was on the phone?
Maybe TV, because the movie was still on it.
But nothing from like outside in the hallway or the door or...
I don't think so.
No one yelling. What's your mom's name?
Felicia Walker.
And her mom?
No, mom's mom.
No, I'm sorry. Sorry. Breonna's mom.
Tracy. Tamika. Okay, they got her real name right. I thought it's the RCP. Well, I thought Reason.
Oh. So you think of Tamika?
Tamika Palmer.
So you said that you and Brown have been on and off for 7 years? So you said that she messed around with somebody else before?
Or? Yeah, it was really, she messed with him before me. We started messing with each other, but then we wouldn't mess with each other, so she kind of messed with him again, you know, and then it's that sort of situation. But me and her always, that was my best friend.
So you guys know each other longer than 7 years, or?
I say, man, like 2012 or 13. So when I say went off for 7 years, really like the first 3 or 4 years of us knowing each other, like we weren't even together, like it was just about like my best friend.
Mm. She always lived in this apartment?
Well, first she lived with her mom when I first met, and when she moved, she moved into that apartment. It was her first apartment, so she probably lived there in like 2014 or 15,
maybe. Okay.
She's been there ever since.
And then your apartment's on Rockland, Iroquois Garden, which isn't too far.
I just moved there in July, so for the last 2 years before July, I lived there with me. At Springfield.
Oh, you lived with them?
Yeah,
okay.
For the last two, maybe 3 years before I moved to my own apartment in July.
Okay, of 2019?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
you lived there by yourself?
Yeah.
And you often stay at your apartment too? Sometimes?
We do pretty much rotate. Like I said, her sister lives there too, so if her sister was there right now, we probably would have like went over to our apartment. But
mm-hmm.
Her sister's out of town right now, so we're at her apartment.
Mm-hmm. Have you kind of scheduled where you are at her house a couple of days, and at your house, or just?
Just depending on what we feel.
Mm-hmm. You said you don't have any roommates?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just one bedroom?
Did she get anything over at her house?
Toothbrush. A flyer under the sink.
Girl stuff? Johnny clothes or she keep anything over there?
Mail or anything like that?
She might have a t-shirt or something over there.
She travel with her stuff? Like when she would come and stay at her place, she'd bring a bag or...
Well, it really just depends. I mean, she only lived right around the corner, so we didn't ever really like plan specifically to stay anywhere, but just whatever we was feeling at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If she didn't have money, it really didn't matter because we would get up and we would get up right around the corner of her house or something. She would get up and leave or whatever.
When was the last time she stayed in the apartment?
Maybe like a week ago.
job. They go up both in ground cars. You drive over there. There's y'all's cars in the apartment complex parking lot, like right outside the door.
That's the end of the first interview with Kenneth Walker. And so we're ready to go off the record now because lunch is here. 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 Lunch is here.